When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players. You have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
You are listening to Just Pod Baby, a Las Vegas Raiders podcast brought to you by SilverAndBlackToday.com. And now your host, Evan Grote.
Let's go, Raider Nation. We are back on Just Pod Baby with another brand new episode for you. I am your host, Evan Grote, fresh off my appearance on Silver and Black Today, part of Raider Nation Radio. Had a lot of fun going on with Scott and Q, chatting it up. The big topic of their show was the Raiders defense, and that is something that we will also dive into this week as well. If you did not hear the show on Thursday and you would like to, you can subscribe to the Silver and Black Today stream over at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and all the major platforms. Scott puts up every episode, so if you happen to miss it live, you can find them all over there. And while you're at it, if you don't already, go out and subscribe to my show, Just Pod Baby, a Las Vegas Raiders podcast. Couple of great guests lined up for you as well. Later in the show, I will be joined by 8-year NFL linebacker and former Raider, Kirk Morrison. Kirk will give us his insight as a former player, what it's like to be a linebacker in the NFL, the evolution of the position, and he will share his thoughts on the Raiders' new look linebacker room. Also, we will be joined by NBC Sports Bay Area reporter Scott Baer, one of the most well-known reporters on the beat. He will fill us in with the latest news out of training camp. But we begin tonight with some talk about the defense. There's been quite a bit of turnover on the unit from last year. The way I see it, possibly 5 new starters and a couple other rookies or undrafted guys who could work their way into some meaningful snaps. I want to start with Cleland Farrell. He is a guy that will need to make a jump in year 2 to help this defense get to the level that they want to get to. He met with members of the media on Thursday, and I have some of that audio here, so take a quick listen to what he had to say.
I never look at pressure as something that can break you down. Pressure is a privilege for me, you know what I mean, regardless of the fact. I never listen to what people had to say, even though you know you hear it. You definitely hear it, but for me, you know, nobody knows what, you know, what I know internally or what we know internally as a team, you know, this and the third. And something that always stick with me is, like, regardless of when you hear people like things like haters and things like that, you know, a hater is someone who doesn't wake up every day and do what you do, but they can speak on something that you do every single day. So regardless of the fact, man, I just block a lot of that stuff out. It don't really matter, you know what I mean? I know I had a good rookie year regardless of what anybody had to say about me. So I'm just ready to improve on it and get to a Super Bowl this year, so I'm excited.
So he was asked there about basically how he dealt with the pressures of being the number 4 overall pick and kind of how he dealt with some of the critics that he had last season. And I think that the big takeaway for me with what he had to say there was, this is a guy who's got a tremendous chip on his shoulder going into the second year. This guy comes from a winning program at Clemson. He has a lot of pride in his abilities, and he's well aware of the critics that are out there, or the haters, as he called them. He is a high character guy, hard worker, and I think he took it personal, the things that people were saying about him and his performance during his rookie year. I really hope that he can channel that negativity and just really let it all out on the field. In this next clip, Farrell was asked about coaches wanting him to play both on the inside and defensive end and how he plans to be successful in both of those roles.
This thing is just cutting it loose. You know what I mean? Last year, kind of going through that process, learning about it. I feel like too much of me was thinking too much, you know what I mean, trying to learn everything. But, you know, it's a learning curve. This, that, and the third, regardless of what people got to say. People don't know, you know, what it takes to play or do what was asking me last year. But aside from that, man, I'm ready to go. You know, anything that's asking me, I feel like I'm ready to do now and do it at a very high level. So
I think Klee was very honest right there with that answer when he said that last season he was just thinking too much out there, trying to learn everything. I do think he was a little overwhelmed and maybe a bit out of position lining up inside. And I know the plan is to have him line up there again this year. on third down passing situations. And I don't believe it was something that he was asked to do a lot at Clemson. So there is a learning curve there, as he spoke about. But having gone through it last year, he should be more prepared to do it this season. And the addition of Rod Marinelli will be a great thing for his development. Now, it's been well documented. He added some weight in the offseason. He's now up to 275 pounds. Gunther today said he looks great. He looks strong and quick. So it sounds like he's in great shape right now. And I also just want to throw this out there for you guys. This will really fire you guys up, I'm sure. I recall a guy by the name of Khalil Mack, who didn't have the greatest rookie season as well when it came to his sack numbers, and he was also a top five pick. Four sacks for Mack in his rookie year. In that following offseason, between his rookie year and his second year, he also added some weight to his body. He came back the next season and had 15 sacks. So, again, I'm just going to toss that out there for you. You guys do with what you want with it. Now, I'm not trying to say that I expect 15 sacks from Farrell, but 8 would be nice. And I think 8 is more than a more than reasonable goal for him. Now, staying on the topic of the defensive line, I love the depth at the position. The run defense was a strength last year, but they need to do a better job of getting after the quarterback. They showed some signs of improvement after that terrible 2018 season where they only had 13 sacks. They did make some improvements there, but it's still not where it needs to be. Malik Collins was brought in. John Gruden has been gushing about this guy. He is a major upgrade for the interior part of the defense. If he can get pressure up the middle, it will make life much easier for those guys on the edge, as we know. I expect a rebound year from Farrell, as I mentioned, to go along with Max Crosby, who should only get better in year two. And Carl Nassib, I really like the signing of Carl Nassib. He brings a lot to the table as well. And I love the effort and the energy that he plays with, very similar to the way Max Crosby plays. I think his presence in the room will add to the level of competition, and it will help bring out the best in some of the other guys in that room, like Arden Key, who I think needs a major kick in the butt. It's a huge year for Key. He sounds like he's ready to go. You know, he talks a big game. We need to see it on the field. He needs to stay healthy. He needs to be productive. And don't forget Mo Hurst. Would love to see him take a big step forward as well in year two. I think the defensive line could be a strength of this defense. Now, the next bit of audio that I want to get to is from defensive coordinator Paul Gunther, who might be the happiest man in the building, the new Raider headquarters there. He finally has some pieces to work with on that defense. Here's what he had to say.
You know, a lot of times the last couple of years, guys, to be honest with you, you look down on your call sheet and say, oh, I can't put this guy in that situation and this guy in that situation. And you got to pick and choose your spots during games. But I think with the young talent that we have, the speed that we have, the first thing I notice is we're much faster on defense. We got some good rushers. We got some good cover guys. And that's what you need in this league to be successful.
Now, over his first two seasons, I've been a supporter of Gunther, despite how poor the defense has played at times. So for me, it's never been a scheme issue or a coaching issue with Gunther. It was always about personnel. I like what they have done by bringing in some competent linebackers that can cover. Linebacker was by far the weakest link on the defense last year. I expect it to be much improved if they can stay healthy. That is a big if. But there's no doubt it has to be very challenging for a coach when you just don't have the right parts that you need to do the things that you're trying to do. But that is not the case this year. There is some hope on the defense, and I don't think it's a finished product by any means, but definitely looks improved right now. Now, the last piece of audio that I have for you is, again, Paul Gunther. Listen here as he talks about the added depth on the defense.
The overall picture of the defense, it used to be when we got one guy out on an injury, we bled to death. You know, now we have some depth across the board in the secondary on the D-line, so we can roll guys through and create roles for each and every guy. It may be 10 snaps to help us win, it may be 60 snaps to help us win. Whatever it is, we have different guys with different portfolios where you can put those guys in certain spots and utilize their strengths. So it's exciting. I'm anxious to get going once we put the pads on.
depth on defense is not a luxury that the Raiders have had in a while on defense. I do think there is a lack of depth that concerns me at the linebacker position. After Kwiatkowski and Littleton, you're looking at Nicholas Morrow, who did play a lot of snaps last year. After him, you have Kyle Wilbur and two other guys, and Javon White, who sounds like he's well on his way to make the team. I'm not sure if you heard what Gunther had to say about him, but very, very high praise for that man. So he seems to be well on his way. And then you have Tanner Muse, who is converting from a safety in college to a linebacker in the pros. I just worry that if they should sustain any injury, it could be asking a lot of a guy like Javon White or a Kyle Wilbur or even a Tanner Muse to step in there and play big-time snaps. So it's not something that's being discussed a lot. We keep hearing about how much of an upgrade Littleton and Kwiatkowski are, but I do think there is a bit of a depth issue there, so I think it's something that's worth monitoring. Bottom line here is the defense has the pieces it needs to take the next step. I'm not looking for a defense. Well, I mean, I would love a defense to play into the top 10, but I don't think that's a reasonable goal. But what I would like to see is a defense that can go out and force more turnovers, be more efficient on third downs, you know, find other ways to make plays, to impact the game. And I would like to see a defense that can hold teams to, you know, 22 to 24 points, somewhere in that range. Okay, I want to get my first break out of the way, and when we return, we will go to our guest line and speak with former Raider Kirk Morrison. We go out to the phone lines now, and we bring in our first guest this week. That is 8-year NFL linebacker who spent 5 highly productive seasons with the Raiders, and he now does work for ESPN Los Angeles covering the Rams. We welcome in Mr. Kirk Morrison. Kirk, thanks for joining me on Just Pod Baby. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. About yourself?
Very good. Thanks for asking. Now, Kirk, before we get into some Raider-specific discussion, I would like to ask you, you know, as a former NFL linebacker yourself, some questions about the position. So let's start there. I'd like to get your thoughts about the evolution of the position. You know, years ago, it was about finding an enforcer, a thumper in the middle of your defense that could be a tone setter. But the philosophy has kind of changed. Now it's more so about getting guys that can run and cover. What can you tell us about how the position has changed over the years?
Wow, I think it's changed tremendously because I think it's the game has just so much speed on the field now, right? It's more, you know, one tight end, 3 wide receiver sets. It's about throwing the football. You know, before the NFL was about a good running game in terms of having, you know, 2 backs, you know, a fullback, a tailback, a couple tight ends. That was how you won games in years past. But we've seen this transition in the NFL where it's become a big-time passing league, almost what I call a fantasy football type of league where the ball is just thrown all over the field. And with that being said, you're always trying to find an advantage. And the advantage right now is that a lot of players in the NFL are playing skill positions, wide receiver, tight end. Running backs are now being lined up at wide receiver, and it's very tough on a defense. And so the linebacker position has always been one that be able to stop the run, be adequate in the pass. But I think now that's definitely not the case anymore. You need linebackers who actually may be better in coverage and maybe not as good in the run game, because the passing game now affects the game totally different. So that's where I think the linebacking has changed, because you have linebackers who are a lot smaller than they were in years past. They can guard tight ends. They can guard running backs. And when I say guard, I mean they can, you know, try their best, but there's some exceptional talent out there. But that's just the way that the game has changed now, where you don't have those big burly linebackers anymore. The game is just a lot different because of the speed of which these tight ends and running backs have now. It's very hard to keep up with them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really all about a chess match. The offensive coordinator is trying to find the mismatches in the defense, and now the defense has had to kind of change their philosophy to catch up with what the offense is doing. So yeah, I totally agree with you there. Now, as I mentioned, you spent 5 seasons with the Raiders. You made 94 starts at middle linebacker. Can you tell us what it's like to be the quarterback of the defense, having that responsibility of making all the calls, getting players in the right position, and just, again, as I talked about, the overall chess match that goes on pre-snap?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. I mean, being a linebacker was one that I prided myself on, because you have to have a sense of of where you are at all times, right? To me, one of the biggest things that I learned in the National Football League was about time management and what you have to put your time into. How do you eliminate distractions? How you can be at your best? And so, you know, for me as a middle linebacker, not only do I have to get a huddle together, but I've also have to get the call from the sideline. And from there, being able to understand the call, to be able to elaborate the call throughout the defense, also being aware of the down and distance. Where are we at on the field? Are we red zone? Are we goal line? Are we middle of the field? Are we minus 30, plus 30? You know, those things that kind of come to mind. And then when the offense breaks their huddle, being able to get the defense lined up in the right place, which is the strong side, which is the weak side, where's the blitz maybe coming from? Hey, what coverage will we be playing? Or how will we cover this depending on, you know, the offense's alignment? And then there's the shifts and the motions within an offense that can change possibilities of where a blitz may be coming from, the strength of our defense, the coverage of our defense. And then, by the way, you still got to get ready to remember your job, take your proper steps and keys and techniques and user techniques and go make a play. So there was always a lot definitely on my shoulders as a linebacker. But I embraced it. I loved it. I love being able to be that signal caller, be the guy up front in the middle that they will lean on, and, you know, just be able to definitely, I always thought, to keep guys in the right direction, keep them in the right spot, put them in the right spot. And that's somebody that they can always believe in, that, man, he's always going to have my best interest. He's always going to put me in the right spot. I can depend on him. And so that's how I looked at me as a linebacker.
My head was just spinning right there listening to you talk about all the things that, you know, you have to go through on just a single play. So it is remarkable all the things that you have to make sure you're doing just in one play here. 8-year NFL linebacker and former Raider Kirk Morrison joins me on Just Pod Baby. Kirk, the theme of my show this week has been all about defense, and we know this is an area that Mike Mayock put an emphasis on during the offseason to go out and bring in some more talent. And right now on paper, it appears that he has done so. But what I want to ask you about, when you look at all the new pieces on defense who were brought in, both in free agency and the draft, keep in mind there will be possibly up to 5 new starters on the defense. How difficult do you think it will be for them to not only just learn the scheme, but come together, mesh, be able to communicate together, and just get on the same page without having the offseason programs or the preseason games to kind of work on those things?
I don't think it will be too long. I think when it comes to defense, it's a little bit different, right? Because, you know, defensively, there's the installs are a little bit different, right? I mean, honestly, cover 3 is cover 3. Cover 4 is cover 4, 5, 1, whatever it is, right? It's just sometimes just learning the terminology and where do I line up. I think defense is actually easy to learn, more so than what people may think. Throughout my training camps, throughout the NFL, college, Pop Warner, high school, whatever, defense is always ahead of the offense to start. Because the defense knows what they're going. Hey, if a coach says, hey, play cover 3, you know what I mean? Everybody knows where to line up. Everybody knows their assignment, what they're supposed to do. And they just go out there and they execute. That always happens early on. But what changes is when you approach the regular season and offenses now start to attack what you do defensively. And they will try to test your rules. They will test you and see, how do you adjust and how do you do that? That's where the offense usually comes back and it swings more toward the offense's way, because they can know where the weak spot in a defense that you're playing at. Okay, every defense has a weak spot, but how do you not allow the offense to find it? That's when the tricky part comes. So I think the Raiders defensively will come together pretty quickly. I believe so. Everybody will be on the same page. It's just about how quickly can they eliminate the weak spots in the defense and eliminate those holes and gaps, and how sound can they play for four quarters? That's really what it comes down to. Is you can see a team, you know, like the Raiders, who we've seen, they play spurts of defense and not necessarily a full game. So that's what it's, I think it's all about, because you'll have a lot of guys, even though it'll be five new starters, you'll still have a lot of guys who play a ton of football in other places. So when you've played football, you kind of have the expectation of, you know, what's going to come, you know what to look for. But now it's about being cohesive as a unit. And once you get all 11 playing, you know, physical, fast, and communicating for four quarters, that's when you got something special.
Yeah, now I hear what you're saying. You know, obviously football is football, but I guess I was kind of focusing, and you mentioned it there at the end, the communication, like learning your new teammates and their tendencies. Is that something that you think will take more time to develop? Or like you said, as far as knowing a scheme, you know, playing cover three, that's cover three with the Raiders is the same as the cover three with any team, but communication, understanding your teammates and the things they like to do, is that something that could lack without the offseason?
Maybe a little bit. I think because you need repetitions, because, you know, maybe the cover two safety may need more of a jam underneath, may need the underneath linebacker to reroute a receiver to his side a little bit more, to give the safety a little bit more time to see, you know, the outside receiver or even an inside receiver coming down the field, right? Just buy him a little more time. It's those little tweaks and things like that. The communication are tools in which, you know, players use in order to circumvent the defense a little bit. You know, how do we find a way to, you know, if there's a running back, you know, who's been killing us or gashing us, you know, there's tools that you can use to say, hey, I need the defensive end to maybe crash down. Or if that running back comes out on a route, you make sure you hit him, you poke him a little bit, just throw him off the route. Those communications, they kind of come as you go along. And so as much as they try to get the kinks out in training camp with no preseason games, a lot of it will fall on when you start the regular season and you learn from it each and every game, because those are the opportunities that sometimes you just don't get a chance to cover. You just, hopefully you play your rules, and by playing your rules, the whole defense, everybody, you know, communicating will do their part. But then there's going to be times where a guy may have thought that this is what the guy was going to do, or, you know, they ran a different route that they never really covered. And that just comes with repetitions. I just know that, because there were things that I learned in games that you couldn't practice, that you can go in a whole off season and still would never do that. I mean, I know there's off seasons where we went over a blitz so many times and we were like, okay, we got this blitz all the way down. And all of a sudden you get to the regular season, you call that blitz, and all of a sudden a team runs a different route combination, or they have a different personnel grouping, and you're like, wow, we never covered this, or we never saw this before. That's not on the coach. That's just what offenses do. So that's kind of a long-winded way of just saying, like, I'm not too worried about the communication with the Raiders, because at the end of the day, you may just only be a team that doesn't have a lot of defense in. You may only play a couple coverages, maybe. The ones that everybody is on the same page and communicate with, that's what good defensive coordinators do. And the more you do that, I mean, Seattle runs the basic same cover three with a little man here and there, but they run it basic so that everybody's on the same page and they play fast.
Now, speaking of some of those additions, two of the big ones for the Raiders are at linebacker in Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski. What are some of the traits that you see in those guys that you like, and what kind of impact do you expect them to make with the Raiders?
I think with Nick Kwiatkowski, is a guy who I think is going to be in the middle, very heady, guy with great hips. He's done some things in coverage last couple seasons that, you know, has definitely surprised me. I mean, he looks like a guy that just, obviously a tackling machine, very active. But I think that he gives you not only the run-stopping ability, but he also gives you the ability to go underneath some tight ends, be able to carry a tight end, maybe wall off a receiver. Gives you some, I think, scheme flexibility for the way that he plays the game. Very heady player that, to me, the more and more you watch him, you understand he's very smart and he's very functional at the middle linebacker position. As far as Corey Littleton goes, I think he's very still raw as a linebacker. And probably because I had the opportunity to cover him for, four years, I think. Yeah, his previous 4 years when he first got to the NFL as an undrafted free agent out of the University of Washington, not having played linebacker. So to watch him elevate himself from a special teams player to a nickel linebacker to an every down linebacker, I think he's very raw still, and raw in a good way, meaning that his ceiling is so far ahead of him that I don't know if he can reach it this year. I think he's got still a plenty of prime football left as he learns the position even more. But I think that he's an exceptional talent, plays the run okay, something that he can definitely build on. But, I mean, he can play – he can guard tight ends. He can guard running backs. He can be a blitzer if needed. And he's a difference maker in terms of punching the football out, interceptions. He does it all. And he's also a great special teams player as well.
I just want to shift gears here. I want to talk a little bit about the secondary. I think that is still one of the question marks that remains right now with the defense. Trayvon Mullen had a good rookie year, and he will be expected to be their shutdown corner. Opposite of him, the job appears to be an open competition right now. LaMarcus Joyner returns in the slot. On the back end, Demarius Randall was brought in free agency to play alongside with Jonathan Abram, who made only one start a year ago. We know it's a passing league. We talked about that earlier. Do you feel the Raiders have the pieces to improve upon a pass defense that ranked 25th in yards allowed a year ago?
Yeah, they have the pieces. I just know how difficult they may have it going up against the Patrick Mahomes of the league, right? We'll see what the Chargers and Tyrod Taylor have. Drew Lock with the Broncos. They got some good quarterbacks that the Raiders will be going up against within the division. I think they have the talent. They've got some guys who are very definitely flexible, right? You mentioned LaMarcus Joyner. He's a safety/inside player. You mentioned Trayvon Mullen, but he's going to have to take another step, right? Rookie year, okay, but if you're going to be the shutdown corner, you're going to have to play more consistently. You drafted Damon Arnett out of Ohio State, so you want to see what your first-round pick has going on the opposite side. You want him to be an immediate impact player as well. The safety position, I like Demarius Randall. Definitely have to hone in with him a little bit. He's a very active player, very strong-willed player. We just want to see him focus in. And you know, he's been on three teams in a very short time, right? This is his third team already. So, you know, there are some things there that you want to make sure that you can corral and keep his focus on the football field and his play on the field. So that's an area of focus for me. And Jonathan Abram, I want him to, learn how to play the game a little bit differently. I think last year was very eye-opening for him. He is a very hard-hitting safety. And, you know, what you did in college, that's great. But in the NFL, you can't blow everybody up. You can't try to tackle everybody as if you're trying to, you know, send them to the sideline or anything like that. Yeah, sometimes a tackle is just a tackle. And so hopefully he's able, you know, a year off to kind of understand the NFL game more, not necessarily to take away from his game, but just understand that your team needs you. You're more valuable on the field than blowing up a guy on a 10-yard route, which he got injured on last year. Right? It was just a 10-yard route. He tries to blow the guy up. Like, it's in the first quarter. Like, tackle him, move on. You try to blow him up and you blow your shoulder out. So those are just the little things, I think, for the Raiders. They have to stay healthy. We know that. That's going to be key because there's still some youth there. Even though you have some guys who've got some time and have played in the NFL, you're going to be very youthful back there. So how do you, you know, keep all that together? Eric Harris, they've got a good group, right? They've got some competition, which is great. And now that competition has to come together and stay healthy. And if they're able to do that, you definitely could see this team making strides, you know, not being, you know, 25th, but definitely moving up for sure.
Final question I have for you, Kirk. Mark Davis has already come out and said that there will not be fans in attendance for home games, and I'm assuming that many teams will start to follow suit as we get closer to the start of games. Explain to us, as a former player, what kind of impact do you think having no fans at games could have on the game, or just the psychology, you know, psychologically for a player?
Well, I think the hard part will be defenses. Defenses now are going to be tough all the time. When I say tough, meaning that they won't have the luxury of crowd noise in terms of a snap count. Quarterbacks now are going to be able to manipulate defenses unlike any other. They are going to manipulate snap counts, hold snap counts, fake snap counts, because they're probably won't be that crowd noise. Now, we'll see what the NFL allows, but you don't necessarily get that type of noise. Like, and I'm just going off me playing in Kansas City and seeing how our offense, when I was with the Raiders, going up against how loud it would be, and, you know, how the defense, I mean, for me, how the defense, you're able to communicate because you're at home. I mean, because, I mean, you're playing at the on the road, so the opposing offense is out there on the field and everything's quiet. But just to think about how loud it was when our offense was on the field, how difficult it was for them to hear, that's now going to be all taken away. So the communication offensively and getting plays changed at the last second, that's going to be a lot easier for offenses. So not having fans, I think, is going to be tough. But I think from what I'm watching in the NBA, in terms of their bubble, this, the competition and playing in front of your peers, media, there'll be still, you know, I think a sense of competition that guys aren't going to be worried about the fans as much. I really just feel that it's going to be more of an advantage for offenses than it will be for defenses, because there won't be that crowd noise. There won't be that built-in emotion that's coming out for defensive players to kind of feed off of. I think this is going to be it's a great thing for offenses and at the hands of not having fans. But again, I mean, I wish Raider Nation would be able to be there and see this new stadium. And I just know the difficulties that it's going to be for defensive football players, and especially for fans having to watch it on television.
Kirk, thanks so much for giving me so much of your time today to talk a little Raiders football with us. I appreciate all your help today.
No problem. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Just Pod Baby. And we're back here on Just Pod Baby with your host, Evan Groh. I want to thank everyone for tuning in this week and joining me. Man, what a great spot there that was with Kirk Morrison. He is a great interview. He has so much knowledge of the game, and he's very enlightening and gives you a lot of insight on you know, what goes on in the game, what it's like to have played the game. So I thought that was a great interview there, and I will definitely try to get him on again sometime soon. But for now, let's keep this show rolling and bring in our next guest. Once again, we go out to the phone lines to bring in our next guest this week, and that is NBC Sports Bay Area reporter Scott Baer. Scott has covered the team for many years and has become one of Raider Nation's favorite Twitter followers and go-to guys for all the latest news. Sadly, though, Scott did announce earlier this week that his time with NBC will be coming to an end when his contract expires, but he will be covering the team for the next couple of months. So I had to get him on the podcast one last time. And I know that I speak for all of Raider Nation when I say, Scott, we thank you very much for all your hard work over the years, and you will be greatly missed.
Yeah, man, I definitely appreciate you saying that. And, you know, it's kind of the unfortunate situation that we're in with pandemic and all that type of stuff. You know, sometimes these things happen, but, you know, staying positive and looking forward to the next opportunity, of course. And I've been covering the NFL for 13, 14 years now, seven seasons covering the Raiders. And I tell you what, the fan base, not even just the support over the last week, but really their support over the last 7 years has just been incredible. Raider Nation is ride or die. They are loyal to the core. And, you know, nobody's perfect in this business. I don't mind getting criticized, but it's definitely, I've always sort of felt like when you're in the family, you're in the family. The once the Raider, always the Raider. except Randy Moss. Definitely holds true, and that's it was a really cool experience. Hopefully, something down the road leads to another opportunity to cover the silver and black.
Yeah, you, Scott, just know that you did great work, and you know I'm confident you'll land on your feet. Another news group or another news organization is going to get a great reporter in you, so we really look forward to seeing what your next move is. But let's get into some Raider talk here now, if you don't mind. I want to start with the defense. One of the guys that the Raiders defense need to make a jump in year two is Cleveland Farrell. And we've heard all the talk about the added weight in the offseason. He spoke with members of the media on Thursday, and we heard some of his thoughts. I know it's still early in camp, but what are some of the things that you're hearing about how he looks physically thus far? And do you expect him to be have a breakout year in 2020?
I expect a marked improvement. That generally between year one and year two is a big deal, because when they leave for college, they're interviewing for a job for 6 months. Everything's about combine prep and draft prep. And when you get to that first NFL offseason, it's so much different. You can devote yourself to your craft full time. You can devote yourself to a system full time. And yeah, the weight is increased, but it's about play strength, right? And it's about making that type of steady improvement. And Cleveland had a decent year last year. Very good run player. Not as much quarterback pressure as you would like, as Raider Nation would like for a number four overall draft pick. But maybe not a jump from 4.5 to 10, right, if we're talking about sacks. But maybe if you jump from 4.5 to 7, and then you can live around 7 or 8, and you can be a good run player, and you can make things happen, whether you move inside in the sub package or stay outside. This is a guy who, everything that I've known about him, everything that I've spoken with him about going back to his days at Clemson, I did a couple of features on him when he was in college as well, is that this guy gets it. This guy has produced at every level. I would anticipate him producing at this level. Had some setbacks last year, starting with a clean slate, maybe with a little chip on his shoulder, because everybody thinks he was overdrafted, right? Sometimes athletes find motivation in weird spots. I think that could lead to maybe not a true breakout year, but definite improvement, and somebody that Raiders fans can count on for that kind of steady blue collar type of production.
Yeah, no doubt. If you heard what he had to say during his press conference today, it definitely sounds like he's going to have a chip on his shoulder this year. He heard a lot of what the critics had to say about him, and I hope he can use that as motivation this year. Now, Mike Mayock brought in not one, but two linebackers in free agency, and these are linebackers that are expected to fix the ongoing issue that has plagued the team over the years with the lack of coverage ability with their linebackers. But to me, I think there still is an issue with depth. Markell Lee was released last week, and that leaves the door open for an undrafted guy like Javon White to make the team. Now, my concern is if the injury bug could hit this team like it did last year, or this position like it did last year, you could be asking a lot from an undrafted guy like a Javon White, should he make the team, or a guy like Tanner Muse, who is seen as a developmental linebacker right now. That's a lot to ask, right, to step in and play meaningful snaps. What's your take on the depth at the linebacker position?
I think that's a good point to bring up, because, you know, I do a lot of these interviews and people say, Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski, awesome, three down linebackers, yay, right? They don't bring up what you just brought up, which is a valid point in that they expect those two guys to be legitimate 900 to 1,000 snap players, right? And they're counting on that. And they need those guys to be that type of presence because of your point, right? Now, Nicholas Morrow has some experience playing every position. He's played in the middle, he's played on the weak side, and he's a good, serviceable depth player. Kyle Wilbur's not going to give you anything there, and you're right. Relying on a rookie inside reverts you right, especially with no OTAs and the unique circumstances of this offseason, puts you right back in last year's issue, right? And for what I like to call the curse of Rolando McClain, right? They haven't had a good interior linebacker for that long, outside of maybe Perry Riley for a couple weeks or Navarro Bowman for a couple weeks here and there. It's been a drought, to say the least. And to get two top-tier guys, that's important. But should one of them go down, you're going to have to develop guys quickly, especially in the middle. There's so much that goes into – Paul Gunther puts anvils on his middle linebacker's back, right, that he expects so much of those guys in particular to run their defense. He was able to saying that before Vontaze Burfict, he couldn't run his entire playbook because he needs an expert maestro conductor in the middle. That doesn't come. So to your original point, yeah, depth is a concern. Even with Nicholas Morrow there, it gets very thin, very fast. Those two guys have got to stay healthy. The one advantage is when you look at Corey Littleton and you look at Nick Kwiatkowski, you do see durability there. They're going to need some of that in 2020 until they can restock that position through middle round picks in the NFL draft.
Now moving to the back end of the defense, I want to talk about the secondary a bit. You can't argue there's a lot of talent there at the cornerback position. I love the additions of Damon Arnette and Amik Robertson. But I worry about some of the lack of experience, and I hate to sound negative, but I do think this group does have some inexperience. Trayvon Mullen made only 9 starts last year, and he's going to be relied upon to be that number one corner. They did bring in the veteran in Prince Amukamara, who's going to be competing for the other corner spot with rookie Damon Arnette. When I'm assuming that Amukamara will most likely win that job, and when Arnette is up to speed, he could maybe kind of take over that role. Jonathan Abram, he returns after having a very brief year, only played one game. There's some question marks with him still too. I mean, can he stay healthy? Scott, when you look at the other levels of the defense, is it fair to say that the secondary poses the biggest question right now for this defense overall?
That's interesting. I still look at their ability to pressure the quarterback as major question mark. Now, I can see your point, though, in that the secondary has so much youth, but they've invested so heavily in the back end, right? You think about it. Just in the last two drafts, they've invested 3 top 40 picks in secondary players. Abram at 27 last year, Arnette at 19 this year, and Trayvon Mullen at 40 last year. That's a lot of youth. And for as much as Jonathan Abram is a great talker and we've seen what he can do on the practice field, we've seen his college tape, he's still an unknown in the pros. He's still an X factor, right? We talk a lot about being a tone setter. He's got to make plays on the ball. He has to do a lot of different things well. He has to do it right away, right? That rookies make mistakes. Now, I'm a massive Trayvon Mullen believer. I really think this guy is really good. I think he's locked down. I think them going out, okay, because if you recall, they signed Eli Apple, right, for $6 million, had a weird physical, didn't work out, gave up on that deal, really traded up in the best possible way. They got Demarius Randall, right, who is the presumptive starting free safety for $3.5 million as opposed to Apple 6. And they got Prince Amukamara. And you can look at his interception totals and shrug your shoulders, right? But if you look at more advanced stats, Prince Amukamara playing in man coverage is a top 5 man coverage corner, right? In terms of targets and yards allowed. The guy can absolutely get after it, and they are scheme and system fits. So, yes, there is a level of concern, but I would counter that there should be a level of optimism and intrigue that this safety or this secondary, which from Sean Smith to David Amerson paying those guys big, drafting Gary Conley and Carl Joseph and all those things that didn't work out, the frustration that must be mounting for a team that's used to Lester Hayes and Mike Haynes and Nnamdi Asamoah, right? And this has been a real secondary drought. I think there is reason for optimism that the Raiders may have finally gotten it right. I think that will be proven out over the next couple years, but I believe that we'll start to see encouraging signs and more production from the back end, and more return on all of those investments.
Our guest this week is Scott Baer, Raiders beat writer for NBC Sports Bay Area News. He joins me here on Just Pod Baby. Let's jump over to the offense now. Lots of new toys for Coach Gruden and Derek Carr to utilize this year, but more importantly, nearly every starter from a year ago is back, including what is believed to be a top three offensive line. So as Derek Carr enters year three in this system, how important is it that there will be a level of comfort, not only with the guy calling the plays, but with the guys that are in the huddle around him?
Yeah, that's huge. We've seen Derek Carr at his absolute peak when he has trust, right? Trust in the offensive line. The 2016 O-line was massive and nasty. This one, massive, nasty, right? Across the board, if Gabe Jackson can stay healthy, it's really good, right? And trust also applied in 2016 and 2015 to Michael Crabtree, right? Derek Carr even said it. Back in 2016, inside the red zone, fade to crab, probably going to score a touchdown, right? He's all about trust. He will throw the ball downfield. He will throw it into tight windows. He will expose the ball to possible turnover. He will make daring gunslinger moves if he has trust downfield. I dare you outside of Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro towards the end of the year to find anyone he truly trusted in that same way, in the Crabtree way, right? That was not apparent last year. Also, we know about this scheme. John Gruden would rather have a check down over a pick. He'd rather gain 4 yards over zero with a low percentage pass, okay? All those things are wrapped up into that. But I believe that you have continuity with Darren Waller back, who's going to be, and Hunter Renfro back. Henry Ruggs is lightning quick. He runs a great slant and has scored almost exclusively on those plays. Guess who throws a great slant? Derek Carr does. So it's about build. That's why this training camp is so important for Derek Carr, for this offense as a whole. He trusts the line. He trusts Waller. He trusts Renfro. Can he gain trust in Ruggs? Can he gain trust in Witten? That should be easy. In Bryan Edwards. If he can gain trust in several of his options, that's when you see the Derek Carr that fans remember, the Derek Carr that fans desperately want back. When he has trust, he will take chances. When he has trust, he will throw the ball downfield, and he has all the arm strength and talent and wherewithal to be productive being aggressive.
Yeah, last one I have for you here, Scott. We all know Derek Carr. He is the guy who gets all the headlines, but in my opinion, the guy who is the key to this whole offense is Josh Jacobs. We saw how special this kid can be last year, rushing for over 1,100 yards in only 13 games. I expect his role only to get bigger in year two. He himself has high expectations for himself. We heard him say the other day he wants to catch 60 balls this year. So I do hope to see him more involved in the passing game. But if Josh Jacobs, if he can stay healthy and play in all 16 games, what kind of numbers do you expect from him?
Top five numbers. Absolutely. You know, kind of weighing that, what's realistic? An 1,800 yard all purpose season. I mean, gosh, he had 13 last year and missed three games and was pretty hurt in the others. If they can find a way to keep him healthy and keep him available, and the key to being a better receiver, the route running in the hands and all that stuff, right? But you got to protect the passer to get on the field on third down. And that's something Jalen Richard is awesome at. That's something that Josh Jacobs is developing with. John Gruden needs to trust you to protect the quarterback, or he's not going to leave you in there. I think the numbers could be really high for all the speed that they added, for all the kind of Joker, Lynn Bowden, Henry Ruggs style of weapons, where this thing could, you know, as Al Davis liked to call it, the vertical game, right? Well, this is still – John Gruden can still ground and pound. And I think there's going to be times when they're going to have three tight ends in there. Waller can block Witten, Foster, Moreau, and they're going to go heads up. And they could basically write the play on a dry erase board and say, try to out-execute us. That they're going to play some old-school football. Josh Jacobs, as confident as I am that Trayvon Mullen is going to be a star in this league, I'm at that level, maybe higher with Josh Jacobs. I thought he was absolutely screwed out of Rookie of the Year last year. I was at that event, and I don't think, as impartial as I am, I don't think I've ever been more pissed over somebody not getting a trophy, an individual award, than I was there that day. He absolutely deserved it. He is an elite running back. He's of the Emmitt Smith style. I'm not the first person to make that comparison. But when you start comparing a guy to someone else with a gold jacket, that's lofty. I think that's fair and accurate, and you are right. For as much as this is a make-or-break year for Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, he's the engine that really makes this offense go.
Yeah, absolutely. High praise there from you for Josh Jacobs, and I have to agree with what you said there 100%. And, you know, Scott, I want to thank you again for all your time tonight, for all the hard work you've done over the years, and, you know, to provide us, the fans, with all your great stories and information. We wish you all the luck in the future.
Hey, man, thank you very much for the time. Always appreciate it. And, look, I mean, how long have Raiders fans entered a season thinking, we're going to suck, right? I think that they should realistically, right? I mean,
you're right. You're right.
I think they should realistically enter this season thinking, we got that playoff spot. I think that's the internal expectation. An AFC wildcard spot, anything else is a disappointment. I think it's fair and just for Raiders fans to feel the same way.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% there. And hopefully the playoffs are in the future for the Raiders. No doubt about it.
All right. Thank you, brother.
And that was my interview with Scott Baer of NBC Sports Bay Area. And we will be sad to see him go, that's for sure. And of course, as always, just another great interview with him and just a lot of great information there. All right, guys, you know what that music means. It's time for me to get out of here. I hope everyone enjoyed the show this week. Thank you again to Scott Baer and Kirk Morrison. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, Just Pod Baby, a Las Vegas Raiders podcast. Check me out on Twitter at ebroat5. And as always, just win, baby.